The current podcast is sponsored by Highly Addictive. Highly Addictive is here for your music recording needs. If you need a space to record your vocals or instrumentals, contact Highly Addictive. Don't be shy to record your music. Become inspired by Highly Addictive. Contact them through their site at highlyaddictivellc.com or follow them on Instagram through Highly Addictive LLC. Hope you book them. The current podcast is sponsored by New Life Barber Lounge. New Life is not another barbershop. This is a place where you will find great energy and a friend in the New Life crew. This is a place all about the experience. They will take care of you and have you looking spectacular. Don't waste your time at any other place. Go right now and follow them on Instagram at New Life Barbers and get yourself looking spectacular.
Evan, you're our guest today, bro. I met you like a couple, or maybe like 2 months ago when you came through with Carranza to you know, mix a couple of beats that you guys had here and whatnot. And remember from that day, you were kind of like, bro, I want to hop on the podcast. I want to see how it's like and all that. So, man, I'm glad you're here, bro. I'm glad we finally got you on.
Appreciate you inviting me. Shout out Carlos, too.
Hell yeah, man. Carlos is a really good dude, man. He's been showing me his little techniques and stuff when it comes to mixing and all that. So
yeah, that dude knows a whole bunch of shit.
Yeah, there's a lot that we can kind of learn from him and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, tell us about you. I mean, you know, I know you met Carranza at LA Recording School, bro. So tell us how it is going there, what you're studying, and you know, tell us that.
Yeah, I mean, I met him in this studio certification, like little Zoom meeting that we had to have or that we had to take before we can book studio sessions at school. And
you guys had to Zoom it?
Yeah, we had, yeah.
Fuck, that's wild. This is all through COVID then?
Yeah, dude. Like, I took the first 2 months, like, on campus. Like, COVID was, like, still in China, you know what I mean? Like, it was,
right. It
was
like, January, February when it was still in school.
Over, like, at that time. So I took, like, the first 2 months, and, like, everything was going good. And then all of a sudden, like, it just started getting crazy over here. And, like, the third month came, I was in my music theory class. And then they're like, all right, we got to go online now. So I was like, fucks. Like, I got to take all the rest of my classes online now on Zoom. Like, this sucks.
Took away from the classroom experience.
Yeah, because, like, I mean,
the networking and building with your classmates.
Exactly. And that's like, what the whole school's about. Like, it's all hands-on, you know what I mean? It's, you got to, like...
So it's like a trade school?
It is a trade school, okay. Yeah. Like, my degree is associates in audio production. I'm studying engineering, mixing... some production stuff like.
Do they also like help you get like licensing? Cause I know sometimes you need other licensings for certain programs, and it just looks better on your resume.
I mean, yeah, there's a business class, but I mean, I'm only in the associates program. That's 18 months. You do one class per month, and there's just
that's
that one.
Really quick.
It is, yeah. But they cram that shit in. Like you.
Wow. So you're basically in 4 weeks. You're just doing topic after topic every 4 weeks.
Yeah, in like a specific class. So like, I mean, obviously we have to have our general eds because like it's a school. Like we have the math class. But I mean, that was just super easy. Like the teacher
for
gave
LA
us
trade. You have to have a general ed class.
But for an associates, you need to have certain GEs. Not every GE. It's just certain GEs.
Yeah, like I had. Yeah. I mean, there's not like science or anything. Like I took a math class,
mainly English and math.
Yeah, a writing class, presentation class. Thank God it was online because I don't like presenting and shit like that. But
you get nervous
sometimes. Yeah, like
you don't like public speaking or
what about right now that you got a camera in your face?
No,
he's
cool.
Not thinking about it because it's just us right now.
Yeah, it's just the boys.
it's potentially. I mean,
he's not thinking
it's
about the
be
audience.
On YouTube. Yeah. Potentially 5-10 years, and it could be a million
people
cool. watching it.
Yeah,
you know, it doesn't. So you should take that into consideration next time you're in front of a crowd.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, talking about like being in a crowd too. Like, it's I definitely want to do something in live sound, like Mauricio said. Like he's that's his bread and butter. How did you start doing that, man?
Me personally, bro, it was at church, man. That's why I said church is always a good opportunity, bro, because
it's free.
I mean, first of all, most of the time you're gonna start off not being paid, but
no, I'm saying like it's free, like you get to learn there for free, you know.
Hands yeah, that's shit. A big thing too. So you start off as a volunteer, so it definitely is a big thing. So in that aspect of things, you know, you get to, you know, mess up and not really be accountable for it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Just the pastor's going to look at you crazy,
but yeah, they will. Yeah. But you know, yeah. you know,
and what you doing?
And as the pastor's a total douchebag, he's not going to be or seeing else, yelling.
But then you got to be like, you got to be like, hey, grace of God, the grace of God.
imagine the people that you're supposed to put a versículo up and you didn't put it up in time, and he's like,
it happens all the time.
Looks at you, man.
Oh, he does it all the time. It happens.
It's forgiving too.
Damn, bro. Part of it. Or you connect your iPod and then you put the wrong track at church, bro. Woo.
Yeah,
that's why he has a playlist.
So when it comes to that, it's just like church really was the place, and it's like I thank God for the church I'm at too, because it's a pretty big church, and you're dealing with you know, higher priced equipment and all that stuff. So you know, that's really where I was at, and then you know,
tell them the board you work with.
There would be special events and stuff like that where we would work with bigger artists and bigger bands and all that stuff. So those things get you to work more, because, you know, I was given an input list and they were like, all right, go connect everything. And I was just kind of like, oh, shit. And it's like, they would tell me, it was like, if this isn't done correctly, when we do sound check, you know, it's going to come out then, you know?
Mm.
So it was kind of that, and it was trial and error. And for the most part, bro, like, it's pretty straightforward. And you know, once you get the hang of it, it's just repeated a process. And first off, I just started off like, building sound systems. That's really what it was, putting everything together, and it wasn't really mixing at all. It was,
yeah, he started as a stagehand.
Yeah, so you have to kind of know your system before you even are able to mix it, because if you know, if there's something wrong, as a front of house engineer, you need to know what's wrong, where to go, and all that stuff.
And, and the other thing is, he started with the analog also before.
See, that's the upper hand too, because now everything's digital.
Yeah.
Once you know the analog shit's basically the same thing as digital, but it's like, that's everything, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's crazy when he shows me the cat lines, and he's like, oh, I just got to do cat lines. I don't got to do snakes anymore. And I'm kind of like, wow. Like, all this wiring just being changed, you know,
and
one
for those
cable.
That are asking what are cat lines, I'm not talking about actual cats. We're talking about Ethernet cables, because now data just runs everything through Ethernet, and yeah, that's
yeah,
basically what we're talking
about. Back then, it was a snake, and it was like multiple, you know, channels on it, and now he's just like, no, it's just this one, man. Mm. I'm like, wow, it's changed a lot.
Yeah.
So,
but the recording school is dope, man. I love it. They definitely guide you in the whole industry shit. Like
do they give you like mock trial classes? Like what I mean by that is like, do they give you like this is a mock event, you got to run it, you know, or like this is a mock show. You know, like, this is how it would feel. I don't know.
Yeah, but just, like, small projects. Like, you'll get a project from, like, one or two classes saying, like, you're a studio owner. You have this much money. What are you going to buy with it?
Oh, so they give you, like, proposed budget.
Yeah, stuff
like
that.
And they have the equipment there, like, so that you can fake buy it? Or,
yeah.
Okay.
So, like, the teacher looks at it. It's just like, oh, okay, interesting. You bought this interface. You bought this set of speakers and this or that. Like, just it's all about your choices and stuff. But I mean, yeah, like I said, you take one class per month.
Do they give you like a whole, sorry, I just got to go back to
it,
a whole scenario, like what you're buying the equipment for, like, you know, what a type of event it would be, like if it's for a venue or if it's for like, you know, outside.
Yeah, like the last one I had was for a venue. So you had to buy these, like these monitors, and actually, was it for a venue? I don't remember, but one for sure was like for a studio, like what monitors are you going to buy? What interface are you going to buy? What type of microphones are you going to buy? What are you going to get, any extra laptops? You're going to get an iPad for whatever, scheduling or some shit like that.
Mm.
So, I mean, not really like big mock things, but like...
Yeah, like a smaller mock, but it's giving you the idea.
Smaller projects. And the class I'm in now, it's called Large Format Consoles. And one like mock project is... like, we had to make an invoice for, like, a client. As you're the engineer in the studio, and you're giving the client
the invoice for renting the equipment and the invoice for your time.
Yeah, everything like that. I haven't started yet, but it's due at the end of the month. But
and
I'm working on the SSO console. The thing's amazing.
Yeah.
It's dope. And I'm still learning, like, how things work, like, analog-wise in the world. But, like, it was hard for me because I learned how... this analog shit worked on Zoom. Like, I wish I could have taken it on campus. Yeah, it was called audio system technology. You basically learn signal flow and analog gear. So you get the mic, you have the preamp, you have the interface, and you have this whole patch bay. And that's when I was introduced to the patch bay. You guys know what patch bays are?
Yeah.
Nah, what's a signal flow?
A signal flow is like
the most important thing in audio.
Yeah.
Yeah, but our audience doesn't know what that is, so somebody has to.
That's
yeah.
what I'm saying.
We got a bunch of producers.
Like I said, it's the most important thing in audio.
Doesn't mean that everybody listens to
just everything. Think of Enzo and I as kindergartners trying to learn.
I mean, shit. That's why I haven't said shit, because I don't know.
Girls.
I don't know. This is all foreign to me, because that's why I haven't said shit. That's
so,
nice.
So signal flow, the best way I can describe it is sound is signal, and signal flow. So sound goes through this like these different components to so you can hear your sound. So let's see, the signal goes through like your preamp and then your channel strip and then this that, and then you can eventually hear it. So I don't know, can you help me out, Mauricio? Signal flow is like,
well, you got
it's basically a chain.
Yeah,
it's like a daisy chain. That's what he's talking about.
No. Hold up, Manny. You're bringing
he's
up
a kindergarten.
Other,
man. You're in kindergarten, words. Manny. Remember, you're in
other
kindergarten.
Words that aren't daisy chain is a whole different thing. What I mean is a chain. Just think of a chain. It's a link. So each component you're going through, like you're saying, the signal is passing through there. So,
it's processed.
So back then, when I was just setting up a system, so we would have stage boxes, and that's where all the instruments are going to be plugged into, right? Those stage boxes then ran to a splitter. That splitter was splitting the signal to two different places where people are controlling the audio.
So it was diversion. It was diversion to signal flow.
Signal flow starts from those from the instrument,
from the source,
which is the instrument or the vocal mic, and then it goes into that stage snake. Then it travels to the splitter and it splits the signal, like you're saying, for live sound and then for streaming / broadcast or monitor world, which is what the artist and the band are listening to in their ears. So it's the path that the signal takes.
You're welcome, audience.
You know what I mean?
What the fuck are they talking about?
That's a good way of explaining. Like,
so
it's,
usually when you're recording, let's say, vocals or anything like that, you start off with like anything from like your compression or your... Some people go with gates first. It really depends on your taste. And then you go into EQing, and then you go into auto-tuning and all these different things. So it depends on what it is. Like, there's a lot of things I follow on IG. I don't know if you do follow it.
Where it'll bunch of pages.
It'll break down like the vocal chain for like Drake, the vocal chain for The Weeknd, and it'll break down what mic they're using. It break down what hardware they're going through, what plugins they're using on Pro Tools or whatever it is.
And the flow is from start to end.
Yeah.
Too.
So
like, it's not a random order. Like, it has to start from somewhere and it has to go through specific like plugins or this or that in order to get a good sound from the signal flow.
Yeah. And if you don't plug things in correctly, or if you don't, another way of explaining things about plugging in is patching. That's what he was talking about, a patch bay. You have literally a bay of all these
connections
and stuff like that, and then you can connect one source into another, and that's a patch bay, and that gets very confusing. You really need to study that and know more or less each patch bay, how it works and where the signal is flowing through, what path it's taking. And in the live setting, if you don't plug something in right, you're not gonna get signal back to the console, so you're gonna
break sound.
No signal when you're looking on your console. And you're like, you know, I see the person playing, I see them talking, but there's no.
So you do get
no
the
signal.
Do you get the meter at least?
No, you don't get anything. If
no meter
if it's
at
not
all.
Plugged in correctly. If something's not plugged in, or something's not digitally patched correctly, like that's where the signal flow is very important.
The keyword he said was pathway.
Yeah,
that's the signal flows through this whole pathway, and if like one thing's out of order, you're not gonna hear sound.
Like for example, right now you guys have your mics plugged in. Enzo, you're number 7. Evan, you're number 5, and Manny's number 8. So basically, that's directly plugged into the interface at those numbers. Mm. You know, there's sometimes you'll have a patch bay where it'll go into the patch bay, and then from there it'll break off to like bigger hardware gears and stuff like that. And it's all just gets deeper and deeper and deeper. But anytime that I've worked with anybody and they've taught me stuff, they always tell me signal flow is probably the most important thing out there.
And would you guys say this information is like from the fundamentals or like more advanced?
Oh, fundamentals for sure.
Yeah.
Like the beginning class is like first class, second class type of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't know because I didn't take that formal.
No, I mean, you go into like signal flow stuff in kind of like the middle classes. Like first you start with like using your DAW, like making a beat. You just start with the simple stuff that everyone knows how to do.
So
then you go on, you like dissect how shit works. And
as far as you like to produce beats, or what do you like as far as music?
I like to make I like to produce beats. I'm trying to link up with like local artists that I know. I like to mix people's beats. I mean, like, I really want to find artists to record too. That's the main thing, because I'm trying to.
Any producers you get inspired by? Or have it, like, sparked that inspiration for you to start moving towards producing yourself? Or
I'm not looking at any right now, but I have a few in mind, like Murder Beats or like TM88 or Dr. Dre, of course. Mm-hmm. You know, just like those higher up ones, but.
Is that just the specific genre you like to work in, or do you also like to work in other genres as well?
I mostly produce hip-hop and, like, slash R&B or whatever just sounds good, you know what I mean? But I really want to get into, like, live sound instruments too, which I have been recording lately into my interface. But
what does that mean when you record live instruments into your interface?
Like, you get your bass and you can plug it in with the quarter-inch cable, like, straight into your audio interface, and you can record that into your program.
So he's trying to make his own beat so he doesn't have to use other people's samples.
Right? I do use samples, though. I use Splice. Mm. I don't know if you guys have heard of Splice before. Mm-hmm.
What is Splice for the audience?
Splice is basically a giant sample library. You pay for this membership, and these are all royalty-free samples. You can search by genre, instrument, BPM, or, like, key, or whatever. And you can find so many different flavors of just, like, samples that you can use just to make beats or even, like, sound effects, too. Just, like, if you want to work in, like, post-production or whatever. But it's just, like, basically this giant sound library. And I use it all the time to make my beats, too. Like, it inspires me. There's so many different flavors that you can use from. So I usually start with just one sample and I just add on to it whatever I feel like. Just bass, a beat, or, I don't know, just a few things. But that's what it is. Sometimes I use samples, sometimes I don't. But lately,
but I feel like when you do, you're like your own thing, though. It makes it more original, you know.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't say that, like, I mean, first of all, let's take this just one step back. What made you even go into LA recording school and made you kind of pursue this whole thing? Was there a specific thing, like you listened to an album or you played an instrument before? Like, what was it where it was like, I need to go pursue this because this is what I want to do in life?
I mean, I've always been in love with music. Mm-hmm. Like, ever since my first memory of music, or I'll just go with hip hop, Dr. Dre and Tupac. My dad had those CDs in his car and he would play them all the time. I would just be so just amazed and how good this sounds. Like, I don't even know what the fuck they're talking about. I was so young, you know, I'm 21 now, but I started making beats in high school just because, like, I thought it was really cool. Like, I saw this video, Post Malone. And it was the video of White Iverson. Mm. I was like, oh, this song is so dope. Like, if someone can make a beat like this, then I can do it too. So, like, I got a FL Studio. My aunt bought it for me. And
that was your first
DAW? Yeah. And that's my DAW choice too. Do you use, like, FL or anything?
No, I do Logic, and I kind of done that for a long time. And then I do this other thing called a Native Instruments Machine.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, I use those. And for everybody listening, DAW means Digital Audio Workstation. So it's like Pro Thanks, Tools. Bro. It's all Thanks, those bro. Things. You know what I mean?
This guy's always looking out for the audience.
Well, I mean, just because when you're speaking of something, especially on a podcast, you want to kind of give somebody listeners. Context of mm-hmm. what you're talking about. You know what
I'm
Then you're going to lose your audience. They'll be like, what the fuck? What are we talking about again?
Yeah. But I started making beats in high school. Like,
I'd be like, "Dawg,
dawg,
we're in the valley.
They play with dolls. What?"
I mean, I got FL Studio. It was like one of the beginner versions of it, and I started like remaking beats, and I started making my own beats. I used to remake like J. Cole beats just because like fell in love with that shit. I had all faves with J. Cole and like Kendrick and a few other artists too. Like, fucking amazing music.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just remaking beats, making my own, looking at YouTube videos all the time, and just kind of just building my crowds and just learning what type of beats I like to make.
Yeah, I feel that.
But
for me, like, one thing that really always stood out to me was, I'm being honest with you, my brother was a heavy influence on the music that I listened to.
Uh-huh.
And a big thing that always stood out were the beats and all that and everything. And there's a couple of producers that I listen to now that I don't try to emulate it, my sound or anything like that, but it's more the thing where I really like to enjoy to hear those beats. So one of them is Cooking Soul. And you know, his sampling and the way that he gets down with that. And
I was in barber school and I put that when I started playing.
You know, and yeah, and it was just a different vibe, the way that he was using samples and all that stuff. But, you know, I remember he also showed me J Dilla and a lot of the artists he was working with and his
kind
of beats.
What's crazy is to see, like, how you're saying how you were inspired by Cooking Soul, and then Cooking Soul is inspired by J Dilla.
Yeah, it just keeps going back.
By Ninth Wonder. He's inspired by all these other, you know, Lord Finesse, you know, NES, all these guys that, like, from back in the day that you can see the inspiration from. And then now, you know, you start putting your own shit out, and it's like a little mix of them with your own spin on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never produce shit. I feel like if I was to produce something, it'd probably be like the Diddy role and like telling you what I think sounds good and then making you put the thing sound. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just because I'm not groomed in the whole art of.
He's just like, button. Slow that down, speed that up. No, rearrange it this way. That's what he likes doing.
I just feel like, because there's so many ways of producing. Like, you could produce kind of like hands-on for real, or you could just produce by ear, you know, or by feeling, or, you know, just being in a room and shit. Like, there's so many ways of doing shit that I feel like as you get older, I'm starting to realize that not every way is right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, it's just depending on where you're at the time.
And I like most genres too. Like, I don't just listen to rap or like R&B. Like, I grew up listening to Metallica and Iron Maiden and System of a Down. Metallica and System of a Down, my two favorite bands of all time. I first started playing guitar at 7, and after that I just taught myself how to play. Like, my dad showed me how to read tabs on like ultimateguitar.com ultimateguitar.com, and ever since then I just taught myself how to play most of their songs, and I just fell in love with it. And I remember just like watching YouTube videos of like their music videos or their songs, and just playing along with it too. And I just, you know, just jammed to it. So
yeah, straight up. I mean, for me, another genre that I liked a lot was like reggae for sure. Another one that like I listen to that stuff, and it's a whole different vibe, but it puts me in a good mood all the time.
Mm-hmm. I like everything except country. I don't really like country that
bro,
much.
Bro, honestly,
if you guys like country.
I had a lot of that notion, and then until I went to CSUN and I started listening to other people that were
depends the country you're listening
that
to.
Were writing country music too at school. Like, I didn't say I started to like it, but I could see where it has its crowd, where it has its audience, and bro, country music.
I definitely respect it though. Like,
country
I respect
music,
all forms of music.
If you listen to country music, it's like it's literally just them talking about doing shit. And it's like, I know all music is like that, but it's like, you know, my tractor broke down today and my wife is giving me some shit, so I'm gonna go drink a cold beer. It's like that's what the songs are about.
Yeah,
it's the weirdest
theme.
Thing,
what
but
do
it's
mean,
like
that's what hip hop songs would be about too.
Exactly, like, you know what I mean? But it's just it's own little.
Well, it's for the people that actually live that lifestyle. That's,
exactly.
Yeah.
You know, it has its audience.
My wife is not from the country and she likes country music, bro.
No, I'm saying
it's not
just,
about lifestyle, bro.
No, but that's the main audience, though.
Target audience.
Yeah.
Target audience, for sure.
I would beg to differ because, again, I know a lot of people are in the city and I'm in the country and listen to. I'm like, what? You like that shit? And a lot of girls like that shit, bro.
Because
like,
they have romantic songs.
We're going to
stage coach. So it's not about, you know, just, you know, sometimes the context of the music, you know, the content.
And I wanted to ask you this, though, because you said you don't like country. Do you like Spanish music?
Sometimes, yeah. Like, I mean, like, if it sounds good, yeah, I like it. I mean,
because they're Spanish country, and I've always encountered this where,
Spanish
like,
country.
They don't like, a lot of people don't like, you know, like, English country, but then they do like Spanish country.
Yeah, like, they all have the different, like, moods, I guess. They have the different ways of, it's like subgenres, like Spanish country and English country, too. Like, I like, I know it's not country, but it's Selena.
Mm-hmm.
I listen to, like, a ton of her songs, too.
To pop, yeah.
Yeah. Or, like, what would you guys consider Jenny Rivera? Is that Spanish country?
Rancheras, no?
Yeah.
Like, is the
rancheras regional, Mexican regional
yeah.
music?
I go to school with her son.
Dope.
I went to school with him, too, when I went to barber school.
Oh, really?
Or which son? Mike?
No.
Oh, so you went to the younger one?
Yeah.
With the glasses?
Yeah.
Andres?
Yes. I met up with him once, probably like.
That's a small ass world, bro.
1 month or two ago, yeah.
He's actually singing too, isn't he? He's like trying to be an artist.
We've been talking, and he wants to start making an album pretty soon, and he wants me to help him out.
That's dope. You should definitely take that opportunity. You never know how far it could take you.
Yeah, I mean, we linked up. He invited me over to his place, and we just hung out, got to know each other a little bit more, and talked like his influence and stuff like that. And
his brother went to barber school together, and his brother is a big hip hop head, so he has a big hip hop influence. And it's crazy because he has a big hip hop influence, but yeah, he's starting to start singing the family music, you know, like the Mexican regional music.
Mm-hmm.
That's a trip. It's a small ass world.
It is, yeah. Yeah, like I said, I took my music theory class with him, and that was the class before we had to go on Zoom. And I haven't talked to him like ever since. And sometimes he hits me up on Instagram and stuff like that, and we talk. And we'll link up someday in the future because he definitely wants to work with me. And he's a pretty cool guy, and he thinks I'm pretty cool as well too. So
that's dope.
Yeah. But yeah, recording school, it's amazing. I like it a lot.
Is it expensive, bro?
Not really. Like my tuition is $35,000, just like. It's like a new car. It's 18
Is
months.
That for the full thing?
Yeah, like I get this package that comes with from my school. It's
what, the MacBook,
the audio interface, the headphones, the keyboard, the books are included too, and then obviously the classes. But I just found I got my friend signed up for that school too, and I just found out that they started giving away monitors too. I'm like, what the fuck? You got some JBL speakers and I didn't.
You didn't get a referral? Like, you didn't get any, like,
no, I didn't think about that shit.
Like, fuck. Hey, I referred him. Like,
yeah.
Don't I get something for referring?
Yeah, I mean, in my barber school, when we refer people, they would give you clippers.
Oh, really?
So that's maybe dope. You should go to the office and be like,
are they usually expensive?
Clippers could be expensive, yes.
Yeah.
Could be. It's any equipment, you know what I'm saying? So you should definitely go.
This guy's getting one, like, what, one every week? You used to get one?
Who?
You.
Clippers? Yeah. If a new one comes out and I'm interested,
exactly.
I'm going to get it. Just when you're passionate about your craft, you just
it's funny because he'll tell me sometimes while cutting my hair, he's like, this is the new clipper, man. All right, I just want to see how this works.
how it feels. It's got that new smell to it. It's cold.
Nah, sometimes they come out of the box, like they'll come out, like they'll bite and cut you. So you need to, you want to
break it in.
You want to break it in and test that you're not hurting your client.
Yeah, and then he likes to like see the way that it cuts too, because they all have different styles of cutting depending on like what clipper he's got in. So he'll do those little things and he'll be like, oh, I'm gonna try this one out, all right?
Trust him though.
Oh, of course, man.
But nice. As far as like music, bro, what's the next? What's the 5-10 year? Vision. Where do you see yourself in?
My vision, man.
Where do you see yourself in 5 to 10 years? With music.
I really just want to work with artists that inspire me or engineers. I don't know many engineers right now, but just ones that I can learn from and ones that I know that will be beneficial to both me and them in the future too. Like I don't know exactly what I want to do yet, but live sound seems pretty cool. Mixing engineer printing seems pretty cool.
All right, you want to go with live sound. Cool. What do you mean by live sound? Like, well, what? Like, do you want to go touring with bands? Like, or like, do you want to do live sound for like raves or, you know, Coachella?
Anything I can get my hands on right now.
What do you mean by live sound? What is the goal with live sound? You know?
Festivals.
So, all right. So that's what I was talking about. All right.
Festivals or just artists.
Mm-hmm.
Artists that I like artists that I fell in love with their music too.
So you want to get in with a production company that travels doing festivals. That's kind of like the goal.
Yeah.
To travel, you know, around the US or travel around, you know, the world.
Have you looked into what you're going to need to do to get into those circles to accomplish those goals?
Really experience. Experience is like the number one thing you need to work on live sound stuff. Right now, as of now, I'm trying to get my hands on the most experience that I can. I mean, like I said before, I just got on the roster for the Hillsong Church Group, thanks to Rob and Carlos Carranza, who invited me to that too. But experience is like the number one thing you have to do, or you have to learn.
That's good that you're young and you know that.
In order to get into these,
so building up your resume at the moment.
and providing value for yourself too.
It's mm-hmm. good that you're young and you know yeah. that, bro. Because a lot of people your age, I don't know, they would think it. They think it's just supposed to happen because you're in LA recording school.
Yeah,
now.
And I mean, I figured that out quick too. Like, yeah. it's not just about
you're not
like,
entitled to it.
Yeah, that's the thing about the industry. Like, you have to have value for yourself. You can't just have this degree in audio.
You know how many producers are on IG, man? Like, yeah. I'm just being real.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of them, but it's like, what are you working towards? What are you doing? That's why, you know, we're asking you this question. You yeah. know? We want to see, like, well, what is your vision? At least you have a vision of, like, what your goal is to, you know, play, you know, do live sound for festivals. Mm-hmm. You know, and sounds fun. Sounds mm-hmm. fun. Yeah. I will say that.
Yeah.
Do you have an idea, like, exactly, like, what type of festivals or, like, or just whatever festivals?
Really, just whatever. I love just the live sound of the live aspect of the festivals. Like seeing people, mm-hmm. you know, just have so much fun at these concerts and like hearing this,
like feeling the crowd. And
yeah,
stuff.
Feeling the crowd and like this crazy loud music. You feel the bass in your chest and stuff like that. It's just like the energy. Like you can't get the same energy from a live sound performance than just listening to it on Spotify or whatever.
Yeah, never.
Like it's just
it's like it's, Baja it's that, Fest is going on right now.
It's just that environment.
Yeah. You know about Baja Fest, right? Going on right now in Mexico?
No.
Ah, man. So all the... So basically, they started this about, if I'm not mistaken, like 4 or 5 years ago. Mm. I could be wrong, though. Where they do a reggaeton festival in Rosarito.
Mm.
And it's by the beach. You know, and they're doing like the whole live performance, everything. And it goes on for 2 weekends. This is the second weekend right now. That's going out there. Right now, I have a couple friends that are out there.
Nice.
Yeah. But yeah. I can see that, man. Like, I can see that type of environment. Have you thought of, like, linking up with other dudes that, you know, outside of sound, but also since you're going, you know, your goal is to get into these production stuff, you know, another aspect of production is, like, the lighting guys. Mm-hmm. You know, like, are you linking up with people that do lighting and see if, like, they can get you in the door with, you know, with you doing sound?
Yeah, like I have a friend from high school that's doing live sound for this thing called Concerts in the Park, which is in Santa Cruz, where I stay at. And I don't know exactly what he does in the live sound, but like I've talked to him, I was like, hey, like I'm really interested in this live sound stuff. Like I go to the recording school, like maybe I can show up one day and, you know, help out, do whatever, and check it out. And he's like, yeah, man, I'll keep you in the books and let you know if anything comes up, and yeah, we can go from there. But yeah, even that's a good idea too. Like just talking to the people for lighting and stuff.
You
like
never know who gets you in. That's why
anyone in the
networking
circle.
Is one of the most important things. Because you never know who's gonna get you into what.
Exactly. You know, yeah. And the music industry, it's really who you know. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Right place, right time.
Yeah.
So kind of to shift to another, still music related. What are your favorite topics of? I mean, what are your favorite albums as far as the last year? Your work.
I've been listening to a lot of The House is Burning from Isaiah Rashad. I don't know if you guys have heard that yet.
You like that album?
It's really good. I mean, it was long awaited. His last album was probably like 2017.
A lot of people are liking it, bro.
My brother 2017, my brother 2016. Didn't like it.
I didn't like it.
It's a little different than
like
his other
album. To me, it sounds,
nah,
like,
it sounds the same.
Sounds the same
too. I like his previous ones.
Oh, for sure. I think those are better too, but yeah. I'm listening to it a lot. And it's probably just... Because I've, like, we've been waiting so long.
But you know
long.
What's crazy about
Byron
music?
Loves it. I'll tell you that
I
much.
Like it too. I mean, it's cool. To me, it sounds similar to the other one. But what I feel like a lot of people, because we're in this instant gratification era, is that we listen to an album, we're expected to like it right away when we listen to it. And some albums, you got to give it, like, 4 or 5 plays to then...
Let
listen
it grow
to,
on
yeah,
you.
Yeah, it has to grow on you, man. Yeah. Like, it's
especially
not...
Especially
if it's
long-awaited, too.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like yeah. when you thaw something out. You know, you gotta let it dry, like let it melt off, so that you know whatever
it's
is
gotta soak up,
and then you all right, you know, because I feel like that album was cool. Like it's not bad, it's not his best work, but it's not, it's definitely not his worst work.
I agree, yeah.
Because we're talking about Isaiah Rashad's album that my brother said.
I mean,
was
if
whack.
You want to talk about lyrically, it's good.
Well, that's
but beat wise, I just wasn't feeling
the
it.
The beats to
it's
me
like
sound
low,
similar.
Kind of like it's kind of like
I didn't
low
say it was whack. I just heard like. Logic's bitter. That's all
yeah,
that's all
it was released on the same weekend, and I preferred Bobby Valentino's. So
Right, Bobby Valentino's?
You get what I mean.
Nah, bro.
Whoa. I butcher it and you get what I mean.
Take his out. Take his mic off. For real. Turn it off, man. That's the second fuck up in a week, man. It's fucking...
Damn, I haven't heard Logic in a long time.
See, that's why. It's whack. I'm just kidding.
What was, what's your favorite song from that album?
I said Rashad's.
Yeah,
Man, this I think they're all really good. Probably you Headshots.
What, you, see or, you see what sounds so crazy about this shit? Is what? That I feel old as fuck talking to you guys right now.
You said you're 29?
I'm 30. So my favorite album right now is the Nas album. And it's like, it's Nas.
Nah, that's a, today.
Yo, that's a good one. Fucking,
no, but it's like, it's how old I am. That
no, but that's a good
my
album.
My fucking
though.
Generation is still dropping. I mean, not even my generation, because this motherfucker dropped in the 90s. I was a fucking kid. But like,
yeah.
his second coming was in my era and shit when I was a kid. So it's just a trip.
You listen to it through?
Fuck yeah, that album's a playthrough. And that's the thing that's crazy. Like, you know an album's good when you first listen to it the first time and you didn't have to skip it. Because the beats is usually what gets to you at first. Mm-hmm. And then you come back after with the...
And he's criticizing me over...
What? Over who?
Isaiah's, dude.
I ain't criticizing you. I agreed with you. I said the beats sound the same like the last album. So what criticism?
I don't think they sound the same.
To me, it sounds similar to... It just sounds like he hasn't evolved beat wise. It's all the beats all sound similar. Mm. Like it's like if you go on
every
YouTube,
track sounded the same.
They
man.
All sound like beat wise. They all sound like Isaiah type instrumentals. If you would go on YouTube and you
his lyrics are good, bro. But it's like every song just sounded exactly the same.
I agree with that, but I don't think it sounds the same as his last album though. I think his last album had a lot more live instruments in it, and every song sounded different. The House Is Burning, every song kind of sounds the same. I feel like they all have like a lo-fi.
Like a monotone, like a...
Like a lo-fi feel in the beats. I mean, and like the vocals just are different. But I still, like nah, again,
it's
still,
a dope hip-hop
I
album.
I
still
good
think
album.
It's
yeah.
a dope hip-hop. For the times we're in, it's rap. You know, you're actually hearing
And then
lyricism.
You also had Davies drop on the same weekend.
Another lyricist.
So that was another one I was listening to too Davies. As well.
I remember he was in the Wu-Tang show. Did you guys watch that?
No.
On Hulu? The Wu-Tang
show. Oh yeah.
I haven't seen that show.
He portrays
pretty good.
He portrays
RZA?
Method Man, right?
I think.
Yeah, right. If I'm not mistaken,
I think.
Can
so,
you Google
yeah.
that just to make sure? I believe he plays
no, we're not
his
Googling
character.
Shit today, bro.
All I remember he was like Killer Hill, Killer
we haven't
Googled
shit all fucking episode.
Nah, Maury doesn't
we
want
are
to
Google. Well, I didn't really understand what you want me to Google. So
because you're not
Dave
paying
East.
Attention, bro.
Playing as an actor, he's playing
the Wu-Tang saga.
In the Wu-Tang saga. I believe he plays Method Man, if I'm not mistaken.
I think that's right. Yeah,
if I'm not mistaken.
What shows are you guys watching right now?
Okay, what show am I watching right now? I'm back on Narcos Mexico season 2 episode. Nah, but
I
like new show. All right, new show. I'm gonna tell y'all right now. You guys got to start the. I mean, 50 Cent not paying me for this. So
yeah, Dave East is Method Man in Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah,
I need to get a check from 50 Cent for this, but Raising Canaan is
dude, I haven't started that yet, but
you
me and my girl.
Hey,
man.
Bro, you're smart. You know, shows like that, I feel like is a dope couple show, you know? Like,
exactly.
Or even like that, the Power series or Universe.
Power is good,
it's just
bro.
Period.
I love that
it's
show.
Like you can watch that shit with your boys or you can watch that shit with your girl.
Exactly.
Bro. It's a dope ass series.
Yeah. Well,
and it's our generation, like millennial. And
what'd
and,
you think of is the one where his kid, the one after
Tariq?
Power. Yeah, Tariq's. I forgot what that one was called.
I'm on season 3 right
we're,
now.
I'm just asking him what he thinks about it. I'm not.
okay.
I'm not. We're not going
I liked
into
it.
Details.
I like that season. Yeah. I like that series. That spinoff. I mean,
yeah, spinoff.
I forgot what's the name of it though.
I forgot too.
Fuck.
I forgot it.
Can
Maury,
you look, Marisa, can
Maury,
you look it up?
Can you look that up?
Which one?
The Power Tariq spinoff.
Yeah.
Just put Power spinoff.
Because Raising Kane is a prequel.
You know what's another guy? Another one. If you like, if you like
Power
the Power Universe type
Ghost.
Is that what?
Yeah, it's called Ghost.
Okay,
yeah,
yeah,
it's called Ghost.
That's a good
fuck
one too.
Yeah.
I like the whole, like I said, the whole
but
Power Universe.
Is there, is
you have to watch it, and it's going.
Yeah.
You
so the
fuck
one he's
it.
Talking about, that's the prequel to Power.
Kane.
Right.
Kane.
Yeah.
Raising Kane is a prequel
and then,
to
yeah.
Power.
Ghost is after.
Yeah, Ghost is after Power.
But another one that I'm gonna recommend if you haven't watched is Snowfall.
I've heard. That
I've
was
told
really
Maury to watch that so many times.
At Snowfall, because
that's here in
classic.
LA. It's based here in LA, and like the cold crack epidemic.
We'll probably
John,
start watching
John
it.
Singleton made it. That's John Singleton's show. That's right before he passed away. He passed away filming that show. So John Singleton is the guy behind what's that movie? All these LA movies from the 90s. Fucking put any John Singleton movie right now. I just have a brain fart. Fuck. Boys in the Hood, I think, is a John Singleton movie.
John Singleton.
Oh, The Fast and the Furious is a John Singleton movie. Poetic Justice is a John Singleton movie.
Four Brothers.
I haven't seen that one.
What's another good show that I know? Epics. Another good show is
Hustle and Flow.
Fucking Godfather of Harlem.
Oh, Godfather of Harlem. Yeah,
that's a good show.
I've heard
bro.
Of it. I haven't watched it.
That's a hell of a good show, bro. Because
it's with
like,
that guy with the eye that has like that.
Forrest Whitaker.
Yeah, Forrest Whitaker. Yeah,
it's a dope ass show.
He's the main character.
So, what's the show you're watching right now?
Power.
Power's the only one.
Yeah. I finished. What was that one? It was based in the UK. It was with the drugs. It's on Netflix.
Oh, Top Boy.
Top Boy. That shit was dope. I liked it a lot.
Do you watch the prequel and then?
No, I watched the regular one first. I fucked up though, huh?
I don't know. It doesn't matter. I mean,
which one's the regular one?
Just Top Boy, and then the prequel's Summer House. I think it's called.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I could tell like all the characters.
But which one's the one that Drake helped out with?
Top Boy.
Top Boy.
And that came out after, didn't it?
No, I think
Summer House came out first.
Yeah, because I remember the characters.
I watched Summer House.
The characters were younger.
Yeah, and then the one, once the Top Boy one
came
out,
you have
I didn't
little,
like it as much.
Like, that's when you have the little white boy and the little black kid who are trying to grow the weed, remember?
That's Summer House.
Yeah.
That's the first one.
Yeah, that's the prequel.
I like that one. I didn't like this. I didn't like
the other one is the continuation where the guy gets out of jail.
That's where I started.
He gets out of jail and he's trying to run the place again. Yeah, like,
you know what other Drake show is good? Euphoria. Drake executive produced that. That was the one with Zendaya.
I've heard a lot about it.
That's the one with Zendaya. That show, it's like a high school kids and shit. That shit's crazy. Is it that show, that high school show on Netflix called 13 Reasons Why or some shit like that?
Yeah.
Okay, so Euphoria is that on steroids. That's all I gotta say.
Damn, one bro. I do not want to watch it if you're telling me it's like that.
Yo, but I'm just saying because I've heard like people that I've played, because I've put Euphoria on fucking at the shop.
Yeah.
And people that have watched that, the episodes at the shop will be like, oh shit, this shit reminds me a lot of that show. But I've never watched that show because my girl likes that show.
My girl finished that show.
There's certain shows that I just won't watch with my girl. Like that other dude with the other show with the dude that like follows girls on around.
You.
And yeah.
That I'm is not a watching. Fucking crazy show.
It is a crazy show. And I've seen parts and I'm just not.
It's
nah.
so fucking creepy,
you
bro.
Know what? I've just seen on Netflix that's a crazy ass movie, Aftermath.
I haven't seen that one.
No.
Aftermath is wild, yo.
Change the view.
I haven't seen
one.
That
of the characters from Euphoria showed up in my work to eat. I forgot which one it was. And Outer Banks. Have you guys seen Outer Banks?
Isn't that about like the treasure hunt type shit?
I know like the season 2 dropped right now. And
everyone's watching it, but I haven't seen it.
You know the other one that everybody's on is Manifest. You guys seen that one?
No.
But people got on that late.
Well, they got on late, but then they brought it back because they got on late.
Yeah.
Just like that, Marissa, how you feel?
Because people basically... It got a lot of attention once it got on Netflix, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because it was on Hulu for a while.
Nah, it was on NBC first, and then Hulu picked it up, and then...
And then once
Netflix,
it dropped in Netflix is where it got the bigger hype.
It's because usually there's a Netflix effect. So there's a Netflix effect that companies are discovering now that television ratings are at the all-time low right now, right?
For sure.
So television networks are noticing that they need to just sell these shows sometimes to Netflix directly because people will binge on the whole shit from the jump.
That's what helped. What's this show? My friend freaking loves this show. Lucifer.
That was pretty good.
That one, it only went four seasons
on ABC and then they
canceled and then Netflix picked it up and they were like,
that's the thing.
And they were like, oh, we're only going to do one season and then they were going to end it. It was just going to be season 5 and they're going to end it.
But that's the thing. Like,
and now it got renewed. Season 6 is coming out.
The thing is, that show, when it came out on ABC, was just like, they were just, come on, Lucifer. And it was like, you should have seen the freaking commercials for the show. So that's why I can see why it didn't garner a lot of viewership at the time.
But
Netflix, like I said...
My friend loves the sarcasm in it.
The Netflix, like, effect is real, man. Like, and even Amazon Prime has a lot of shit. Like, you know those movies like Tomorrow Today or Tomorrow War?
There's a few.
I've heard of that one.
That's a good movie. Or else
have you seen 000?
I heard about that
on Amazon.
Yeah.
since we were talking about Narcos, that's a fucking show to watch, bro. That show is all about, like, the distributors trying to, and the people trying to get the coke, bro. But it, like, the reason I liked it, bro, is because it starts off in Italy, where it's like they want to, they're purchasing it. And then it goes to the U.S., and they're the ones that are transporting it. But the product is in Mexico. So it's like you're, and it's all in different languages. So, like, when it begins in Italy, you're hearing Italian. Uh-huh. And then when it goes to the U.S., you're hearing English. And then when it goes to Mexico, you're hearing them talking Spanish. And it's like this whole mix of things, you know, just to get a shipment across.
Sounds interesting.
Actually. Dude, such a good series. I recommend it. Yeah, 000. Let me see. I want to make sure I give you the right one. Yeah, this one. She has the Mexican flag right there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one, bro. Oh, man. Such a good one. I recommend it on Amazon.
The funny thing about Power is it's about drugs, but you don't see any of those drugs. It's just all drama on that show.
Nah, bro. Let's be real, bro. That show's about fucking... Yeah. Hey, bro, like every
hour is like close your eyes.
Powers bro. About fucking nah. They just have a couple scenes every episode. But it's not all about
a
fucking.
Couple scenes every episode. Every
a couple scenes,
bro. You're talking about you're bro, talking
every
about
episode, bro.
Damn near every
season
show
one. No. Bro. Season one
and
three.
It's on fucking Showtime.
No, hold
like,
on, hold
on.
Bro. Season one and three. After that, it downscales. But season one and three, bro. The Angela and him are like fucking every episode,
bro. Okay, you gonna tell me that Game of Thrones doesn't have the same sexuality?
Oh, with the dragons.
But bro, it also dips, but it's you.
Every
I'm not
fucking
saying.
Show has it. That's all I'm trying to say. That's all I'm saying. Every fucking show has that shit, bro. Because
Game of Thrones, when I
started watching Game of Thrones, I was like, what? You're fucking your cousin? You're fucking your sister? Really? Come on.
Incest, bro. Yeah.
Hey.
Reminds me of that day.
Targaryens, bro.
Come on, brother.
The Lannisters just went that way,
you can't
bro.
Point the finger at one and then not the, turn a blind eye at the other. We're like, what the fuck? Come on.
Bro, I was shocked. One of the episodes, they showed 50 Cent's ass. I was like, what the fuck?
I was shocked when I seen that. Kendrick is a crackhead.
Who?
Kendrick.
On Power.
Oh.
Yeah, you ain't that far up ahead.
No,
we spoiled it, bro.
I heard about that. Yeah, I saw that.
He went full crackhead. He asked 50. Well, 50 told him, what do you want to play? He's like, give me whatever. And then he was like, all right. Give him crackhead.
It's messed up.
That show's dope, though. I'm on season 3.
Nah, that shit's sick.
Am I right, though? Like, every episode, there's smash
hits. You know what's crazy?
It slows down after season 3,
you know what's
though?
Crazy? Oh, they're coming out with Sopranos had a little sexuality, too. But Sopranos now got a movie.
But see, I like...
The prequel movie, where his kid's gonna play him.
All right, I like Sopranos for this reason, bro. You get to see how society was during that time period. And I love how, like, there's one episode where they make fun of his uncle just because he eats pussy. And they're like, it's because in that era it was unmanly to eat pussy, and then his girl, like, you can't be telling anybody that I do this to you, like, this is low, and she slips up in one of the episodes where, like, she ends up telling people in the hair salon. And then somehow it gets to his associates that he eats pussy, and he starts losing respect, so he has to ship her away, and he's like, you're never coming back here. He's like, and then he tells people that he whacked her, but he just shipped her away. I was like, dude, that's crazy.
Damn,
how like
pussy, that's it?
Yeah, that's how bad it was looked. I was like, damn. Like, yeah, that's crazy.
Man,
but it was less than Sopranos, though, compared to how it is now.
Yeah, like you said earlier in this podcast, Manny. Not today, but in other podcasts you said. Sex sells, right?
Sure.
Negativity sells, too. Shit.
Man, yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Guard your heart, people.
When it comes to shows, Evan, what genre would you say is like your favorite? Like, suspense, horror.
If you look at his selection, drugs, sex, action,
drugs, sex, and action. Yeah.
But like, is there a specific one that you like?
All that in one show. It's the bestseller right there.
But is there a specific one that you like lean towards more to?
No, not really. No, I just kind of like lean toward what's pretty cool. You know what I mean? Like what interests me. I'm not really a TV watcher, anyways. Too like, I mostly spend my time just listening to music, going to the gym, working. I work all the fucking time. Making music and sometimes playing Call of Duty. But I do like to watch TV sometimes. But I'm not a TV watcher though.
So
if I'm really into that show, then yeah, I'm on that shit for sure.
I feel you. And in a sense, just kind of started wrapping these things up. Like, so how much more do you have left to? I think you were telling us before you have like a month left before you finish school.
I have one class left. Yeah.
Okay.
And that's live sound.
What are you gonna do? Are you gonna continue in school? What are you gonna do after that once you get your AA?
We have the option to audit our classes, meaning like we can retake any class we want because like we're online this whole time.
Yeah.
So we can retake like any one of these classes we want.
Are they allowing to do like indoor now?
In person now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This class I'm in now, it's in person once a week. The other days in Zoom, which I had today.
Did you have to get vaccinated to go back?
No.
That's cool.
I don't think they would. They would demand.
How you feel about the vaccination, bro? You gonna get the vaccine?
Yeah, cool.
I did. I got the Pfizer, the first and second one, but I don't think I'm gonna get any boosters or anything like that.
You don't believe in the hype no more?
Not really. No.
I feel that.
I feel you never believe.
I mean, I've thought about like conspiracy theories and shit like that, but like at the end of the day, like I just.
So you feel like you had a chip inserted? In
no,
you?
I don't. I don't think so. No. I don't think it's.
You don't go down that far in the rabbit hole.
I don't think it's that deep. Like one of my coworkers the other day was talking about how like. The vaccine's like the mark of the beast. And I'm like, what do you mean?
Who's
man?
To say it isn't?
He's just playing devil advocate with you.
Maybe.
His eyebrows went all the way up, like, whoa, okay. Like,
whoa, what if it is?
I mean, I'm not, I wasn't like raised religious, so I don't know much about like religion stuff, but I don't think that could be. I mean, it could be a possibility.
It's there. Well, it's just basically when you read the book of Revelations, it's the idea of
that preacher voice coming.
Yeah, bro. I gotta explain it to him so he can understand his coworker.
Come on, man. Yeah. Come on, let me hear you, bro.
It's just that the book of Revelations. You know, when you read that, you know, it's the idea that you know this is gonna end. So. You will grasp on to that.
His voice guys, changes into like a whole like. Like all right.
Do one of you guys think the earth is flat though?
No.
Shit.
You know what?
I used to.
That coworker I was telling about, he's a flat earther.
A lot of people believe that because, one of the ways one of my friends explained it to me was the flight patterns, right? So, for example, one of the things where they argue is, like, why can't you travel from Chile directly to Australia, right? So, technically, if you want to travel from Chile to Australia, you have to do a scale in the U.S. first, right? So, then that's where a lot of people grab onto that, like, when they look at flight patterns. And they go, oh, like, why do we have to fly this way and not go directly? And that's when they make these arguments. Like, if the world is round, bro, I believe it's round. I'm sorry,
but what's
bro,
the answer? Why don't they fly directly?
Oh, when it comes to that, no, that's just safety precautions, bro, that they're taking, bro. Because you have different. When you're talking about airspace, no. Because when you're talking about airspace, because if you're going to travel from Chile all the way to Australia, you're talking about a lot of fuel consumption, and you're also talking about an airplane going down in the ocean, right? It's a lot to travel, you know? So but it just seems more directly if you're looking at the globe, right? If you're looking at the globe, but also you're talking about airspace, and you got to remember how many planes are flying, how many helicopters are flying. So patterns are created.
You know what I fucked up in?
What?
I wasn't here for the episode. Where the pilot was on the episode, so I should ask his ass because I'm lost. What the fuck you're asking?
All right, be lost,
we
bro.
We can wrap this up in a little bit, but
yeah.
Back to the question.
No.
I'm just saying because it was like a long ass response. I'm like, I know that guy. Wait a minute, like,
this never, is why you never, can't do that never shit. Answering you, bro. That's all I'm saying.
Not about no airplane shit for sure, nah.
But yeah, like I have one more class left in the recording school. I plan on auditing. Most likely after I graduate, just to...
What are you going to audit?
Probably the hands-on classes like a few months back that I should have gotten hands-on. Like, learning that shit on Zoom was not fun. It was really hard.
So learning about your patches and everything that
patches,
you were talking about.
Just hardware, anything, just cables and shit like that, all that shit.
Yeah, but, you're in a lot of class, yeah.
But yeah, but also just get the most experience that I can right now. I'm young, like, I have the energy. I have as much time as I have right now.
Yeah.
And the mindset.
No kids.
The mind, yeah, no kids.
No girlfriend.
I have a girlfriend, but it's oh. it's hard. It's hard to juggle all this shit too. Ooh, like,
no,
work,
no, you're finding out, huh? You finding out?
Oh yeah, I found that
it's
out.
It's only gonna get harder, brother.
Yeah, yeah. But
she gonna be like, I don't want you to be broke, but I need you to have my time for me.
Yeah, that's
and you're gonna be like, what? That don't even make sense.
Like, I gotta make sacrifices. What do you mean?
Exactly. You gotta hit her with the what's that song by J. Cole? Sacrifice? No, that's yeah, sacrifices on the Dreamville album. Nah,
this is a Big Sean song.
It's with what's that? It's on the Dreamville album. I think it's called
Sacrifices.
J. Cole verse at the end hits home when you get older, bro. You'd be like, fucking rape, J. Cole.
Yeah, but yeah, like I'm in this roster for the Hillsong thing, thanks to those people who invited me and, you know, that opportunity to really just getting as much experience as I can right now.
So now you're going to become religious, huh? Are you?
Probably, yeah.
That's dope. I like the openness. Don't ever be narrow-minded.
But yeah, like I said, I wasn't raised any, like, religious, anything like that too, but I definitely respect it too, and I'm open to learning anything like that too. But yeah. And also, collaborate with as much people as I can and build my craft and create some value for myself in the industry.
Well,
it's dope, bro. It's
thank
dope.
You for being here. We appreciate cool. you being yeah, here, man.
Thank you guys bro. For inviting me. Definitely. Sorry if I got nervous a few times.
You seem like a pure natural for the most part, yeah. bro. Yeah.
Especially it being your first podcast.
Yeah, yeah thank you. Appreciate it. I remember my first podcast.
Thank you for listening to our episode. We appreciate your support. Remember to follow us on Instagram at The Current Pod, where you can share our episodes, review, interact with us, talk to us about what's going on. We appreciate your feedback and everything that you guys do for us and supporting us. Have a wonderful day.